order. Apologize to the public for the delay. What we're going to do for the remainder of the time is just have a we're not going to get into a be able to get into a full-blown discussion, debate, let alone vote today. But what we're going to do is to take a brief introduction from Senator Marty on his bill, very brief. A very brief testimony from one of from a proponent of his choice, and then the remainder of the time will be for any citizens who came from out of town. So lobbyists, organizations, everyone will be able to talk at a subsequent meeting. But for anyone who had to drive in today, we don't want to make you come back. And so we've got some folks on the agenda. We'll take those citizens from out of town first, and then we will notify you when the next hearing on this bill will be. Senator Marty, Senate File 674.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Senate File 674 is a bill that would establish a Clean Car Act for Minnesota, and it would do so. We have two choices under, and any state has two choices on auto emission standards, one of which is stick with the federal EPA standard, or number two is to go with the alternative standard that California initiated, and they were exempted from EPA rulings because they had laws, clean car laws, before the federal government did. And there are now 14 states that have adopted those alternative standards, which are tougher. And we started being interested in them here when they started addressing the greenhouse gas emissions issue. We are given a choice, as I said, between the federal standards or the alternative standards, which are cleaner. This legislature, 2007, passed the strongest in the nation renewable energy standards. We've got some very strict goals in terms of 80% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2050. In order to get there, we not only have to do all the harsh things we did with power plants, but we also have to address clean cars. A quarter of our greenhouse gas emissions come from automobiles, and this legislation adopting the alternative standards would cut reduction of greenhouse gases by 30% by 2016. And it does so by existing technology that's without changing the mix of vehicles, the size of vehicles, the power of vehicles. It simply uses existing technologies such as improved transmissions, like six-speed automatic transmissions, cylinder deactivation, variable valve lift and timing, some technologies that are being used now in some cars that are perfectly useful, usable, and 14 states are now going to be requiring the industry to meet those tougher standards, their choice of how to do so. But again, the law was written in those other states in a way, in California, the other states in a way that does not require a change of the mix or the size or the power of vehicles. This has a couple of benefits for us, one of which is the significant reductions in greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants. The industry keeps saying how, you know, they have two arguments, one of which is this is virtually no tougher, or the federal standards are even tougher than this. And then they make the opposite argument that these standards are so tough that they could never comply with them. And they can't both be true, and the reality is it's somewhere in between. These are significantly stricter standards, but they are certainly obtainable. The other benefits, in addition to the greenhouse gas reduction, it also reduces pollutants that affect certain health conditions like asthma, cancer, heart disease. And the final one is it saves Minnesotans money. The cars cost a little bit more, but even when you factor in the higher cost of the car payments, even at $1.75 a gallon, the monthly savings from driving the more efficient cars, after the net savings, after you factor in the higher cost, is about 20-some dollars a month just in the gas savings off of that higher price. It makes good sense. I will be glad to go through the bill at a later time. I don't have any particular witness that you need to hear now. Ours are all from in town. And so if...
Kate Horvat, student from St. Olaf.
Oh, I did not know. Okay. Do we have her here? If she could testify very briefly, that would
come
be
on
helpful.
Up. Come on up. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. I forgot she was in town.
Oh, Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee for allowing me to take the support of Senate File 674. I'm Catherine Horvat. I am a junior environmental studies major at St. Olaf College in Northfield.
Ms. Horvat, if you wouldn't mind just putting that, you know, that laptop thing down so we can...
Sorry.
Unobstructed view. Thank you. And ya.
Yes, definitely. I care about this issue for many reasons, although one of the most important to me is climate change. This is a state where many people live in rural areas without the benefit of public transportation. And those that do have public transportation options often choose not to use them. Instead, people drive their cars because it's more convenient. Now, whether or not you agree that climate change is anthropogenic, there should be no disagreement that it is taking place. And while I know that this bill will in no way completely stop climate change, it is one of those things that can help. And all those little things put together can ultimately make a big difference. That is why I would like you to vote yes on this bill. Now, I'm very disappointed that some members of Minnesota legislature think that we should wait for the federal government to set stricter emission standards instead of letting our voice be heard with the other 14 states who are leading our country. By not being a leader, Minnesota is sending the wrong message. To Congress and the rest of the country, this is a message that we don't care enough about this problem to be a part of the solution. Now, in reality, that could not be farther from the truth. Minnesota led the nation in 2007 when we set a renewable energy standard and when we set ambitious energy conservation goals and when we established our target of reducing global warming pollution by 80% by 2050. The Governor's Task Force on Climate Change handed us the roadmap to achieving this goal, including adoption of clean car standards. At no time did this task force tell us that we would achieve our goal by waiting for Congress to set a national standard. Now, in his inaugural address, President Obama said, quote, "There is a nagging fear that the next generation must lower its sights," unquote. Your action on this bill can set an example to those of us who are part of that next generation. It's worth our time and energy to get involved, change our own behaviors, courageously stand up to powerful interest groups, and shape the future of our planet. Or should we do nothing and hope that someone else acts to solve the urgent crisis of climate change? President Obama concluded his inaugural address by calling on all Americans to roll up our sleeves and get to work on the problems facing our country. He said, quote, "What is required of us now is a new era of responsibility, a recognition on the part of every American that we have duties to ourselves, our nation, and the world, duties that we do not grudgingly accept but seize gladly," unquote. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, please do not wait for the federal government to act. It is Minnesotans who are charged with the duty of meeting our own global warming pollution reduction goal. Passing the Minnesota Clean Cars Standards is a critical part of that duty, and we're asking you to seize it gladly. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Would you feel comfortable taking any questions, if there are any, from the committee?
Sure,
certainly don't have to. Are there any questions for the witness? Looks like you nailed it.
All right, thank you very much.
Are there additional witnesses who drove here from out of town of some distance, either for or against the bill? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Kevin Papp. My wife and I own and operate a fourth-generation farm in Blue Earth County, where we raise corn, soybeans, and boys, and I did drive up. It's only 113 miles driveway to driveway from our farm to the Capitol, so I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. I'm also president of Minnesota Farm Bureau Federation, general farm organization comprised of 78 local and regional associations with nearly 30,000 member families. In agriculture, there are two words that affect almost everything we do: certainty and uncertainty, and the importance of creating certainty and limiting uncertainty. In Senate File 674, as written before you today, there is certainty as to what will be expected of the state of Minnesota, but there still is uncertainty of what the future will hold and the cost associated with the adoption of this legislation. This legislation calls for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency to adopt rules to regulate emissions from new motor vehicles sold in our state. MPCA must incorporate into Minnesota rules the low-emission vehicle regulations adopted by the California Air Resources Board. Not only must Minnesota adopt California regulations, but also any future changes to California regulations. In addition, state agencies will be charged with making sure we are in compliance with the California regulations. We are uncertain what the added requirements will cost state government. We are uncertain how Minnesota's voices will be heard when the California legislature or the California Air Resources Board considers changes to their vehicle emission regulations. We are uncertain what the adoption of California vehicle emission regulations will mean for the availability of flexible fuel vehicles in Minnesota. Flexible fuel vehicles can play an important role in the increased use of renewable fuels and the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. Not only do they burn E85, but they can use various blends of ethanol and gasoline that will result in the best fuel economy, vehicle performance, and cost savings for consumers. These various blends of ethanol are found at blender pumps, and more gas stations are installing them in Minnesota. Now is not the time to pass legislation that may limit future availability of flex fuel vehicles in Minnesota. Now, I want to be perfectly clear. Minnesota Farm Bureau's concerns with this bill in its current form does not mean farmers are against clean air. Farmers have a vital stake and are committed to respecting and protecting our natural resources, both for ourselves and for our future generations, while remaining a leader in providing food, fiber, and fuel. Farmers are business owners. Like any business owner, when we're faced with making tough decisions that affect our farms, we will do everything we can to make sure there is as much certainty as possible that the decisions we make will have a positive outcome for our farms and our families. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today and to testify.
Thank you. Questions for the witness? Reading the first paragraph of your letter, is it harder to raise corn, soybeans, or boys?
Well, Mr. Chairman, the great thing about being involved in agriculture, it's renewable. You get to do it every year. So if it's not a great corn crop, spring is here this week, we get to do another one. It's a little tougher with boys. You only get one chance to raise a family.
That's right. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In general, could you tell me if the vehicles in the farm industry in Minnesota are much different than the ones in California?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, as we look at vehicles, and I think it depends what vehicles we're talking about, certainly in a farm, there are many vehicles besides passenger cars and pickup trucks. You know, certainly a concern is how do these standards or any standards that Minnesota adopts, how will they affect not only the cars and trucks that we normally drive, but also the larger trucks we pull the stock trailers with, grain trucks, tractors, and things like that. So we want to make sure there's certainty in everything as it applies to our farms or ranches.
Certainly there are farms in California, and my guess is, not being a farmer, that they use many of the same farm equipment. Maybe not exactly, but similar. What has been the experience of California in terms of farm equipment and their and their emission standards?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm in my in probably my 32nd year of farming in Minnesota. My experience is raising crops in Minnesota, not in California. What I do know as State Farm Bureau President, I happen to have a flex fuel vehicle. I have a flex fuel vehicle that when I'm in Minnesota, we've got the infrastructure where I can burn E85 in that vehicle. I know Doug Mosbar, the California Farm Bureau President, has the exact same E85 vehicle I've got. And I know he has some concerns with only having five E85 pumps. So I know that infrastructure as far as those vehicles. Certainly California is a more specialized agriculture, could have more specialized equipment. But I believe you are correct, Mr. Chairman. Equipment that we're using on a Minnesota farm and a California farm should be very much the same, although different emissions standards.
Okay. Further questions for the witness? Thank you, Mr. Papp. So we've got five more minutes. Are there citizens who have traveled from out of town that would like to testify? Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for letting me. My name is Ruth Clam, and I'm here from Austin. I didn't come prepared to testify until I heard the last testimony. I was pleased to have had the original bill in my hand, to be aware that the current bill that Mr. Marty has developed has taken into account many of the problems that were in the last bill. This bill, is, as I understand it, does not affect farm equipment. Also, the other strong point within this bill is that this is a fleet-based bill, so that if somebody has more than one car, you know, they can average it in with the others. And I think those are very important factors. I'll admit, you know, I'm here on a self-seeking, self-serving basis because, you know, like many people in this room, I have a little asthma, and it's a generational thing. So I want some clean air, you know, for myself, and I really hope that we can count on your support to encourage this, keeping in mind that they worked very hard to work through and resolve some of the problems that were in last year's bill.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Marty, why don't you just give us a brief conclusory remarks, and I'll let folks know what the process, we're thinking of the process from here on in.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As I indicated earlier, this bill adopts standards that now California and 14 other states have, 14 states total have. It's now close to half. I think it's over 40% of the cars made in the country now have to meet those standards. So there are clearly meetable standards. The industry has been fighting against them, and they don't want to meet them, but they have been doing so. And the standards do change over the years, but there's about a minimum of 4, 5, 6 years between when they adopt the standard and the new vehicles roll out. So when the industry says we're not able to meet it, California has actually sent engineers, meeting with engineers in Detroit, to make sure that they have the technologies able to do each step. Again, the biggest thing we've had trouble with this bill is repeating the same myths that the other side keeps spitting out year after year and month after month, and we rebut the myths, and then they come back with them again. And again, when Mr. Papp had some nice testimony, but again, farm vehicles are not covered by this bill. We are covering cars and light trucks and E85. California is spending public money to install more E85 pumps. They wouldn't be doing that if they thought E85 vehicles shouldn't be used under the California standards. We believe that this is not only good for the environment and consumers, but it will continue the choices they have. It will continue the choice. E85 vehicles in some cases may get an extra credit for meeting the standards. We're not sure how it will be in a couple of years, but I think it's very important that we recognize that. And people keep saying that we're going to be stuck. We're turning over our authority to some other state. We're not turning over any authority. We get to make one choice. We can make that choice this year. We can change our decision next year, the following year, anytime. And that is, we have a choice. Do we want the federal standard or the alternative standard? That's the one choice we have. If, because California is continuing to tighten up its standards, and as they've been doing so, and 40% of the country is now doing so, as they've been doing so, the federal government then tightens up the air quality standards as well. So it's been a very useful thing for those who are concerned about the environment. And the previous witness mentioning asthma is one of many types of reasons people should want clean air. And the greenhouse gas emissions issue is another one. But this is not taking away our authority. We can choose, and if California standards change in a way that we're uncomfortable with in the future, we would have at least 4 or 5 years. Probably realistically, we'd have 7 years to switch back to the federal standards. We could do it. I don't think we want to do that because California has been very responsible in the way they've been following it. We've been told that many times that certain cars aren't available. Some of the E85 vehicles we were told were not available by the industry. They said, you just can't get them in California. And so one of the House members, Representative Welty, called a bunch of dealers in California. What do you know? They had those cars on their lots. So the corn growers came back and said, oh, but you should read this federal website because that's the official standard. You read the federal website, it says this is what we think is available, but you should call your dealer to find out. And a journalist called and found out that the cars were available. So we're spending most of our time on the bill not just talking about the benefits of it, but what's wrong with the opposition arguments because they keep restating them over and over. I'd be happy to go through the bill if you'd like, but I know your time is about up.
Yes, sir. Unfortunately, our time is up. First of all, I want to apologize for everyone who took time out of their busy schedule to be here, particularly the public. General session of the Senate ran very long, and so that's what ate into our time. Secondly, we have the opportunity on Wednesday to meet earlier than our normal 12:30 spot. It is quite possible we will meet at 11:30 on Wednesday, given that the session will be short, as the majority leader discussed on the floor. However, it will be Senator Marty's choice whether he wants to schedule his bill to continue this discussion on Wednesday. And if it is his choice, then we will certainly accommodate that. Should we do that, at any time, subsequent time, when we hear this bill again, we will go through the bill itself, exactly what it does, and then we will continue on with the rest of the witnesses on our list and whoever else wants to testify. Are there any questions? Does that sound like a fair process? Okay. Apologize again for the delay, and we will continue this bill for a subsequent hearing. Meeting's adjourned.
Put all this back in there.
Oh, yeah.
What are you saying when you look here at this medium duty vehicle?
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
What do you think, Gail?
Oh.